First Samuel chapter 2. We're still considering Old Testament expressions of love. One expression of love is a kiss. There are other expressions of love. I'll remind you again of Jacob's expression of love to his son Joseph. He gave him a coat of many colors that made him outstanding from all his brothers. And it says that he loved him more than all his children. Now, just a few verses, because I want to bring many things together. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, look at verse 12. Now, the sons of Eli were base men. They knew not the Lord. And verse 22. Now, Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how that they lay with the women that did service at the door of the tent of meeting. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress, and so forth. Now in chapter 3, verse 12, look at 11, and you can see what it's about. You remember the story of little Samuel. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from the beginning even unto the end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons did bring a curse upon themselves, and he restrained them not. And now, 1 Kings chapter 1. I want you to see this illustration again. I mentioned Jacob, the father. I've read you of Eli, the father. And now, again, David, the father. David and Jacob especially were fathers that loved their sons. And look at verse 5, 1 Kings 1:5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted him, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen, and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, Why hast thou done so? And he was also a very goodly man, and he was born after Absalom. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, what issues of life hast thou not brought into thy word to bring to our consideration? Let us know that many fathers and mothers contend with some of the things of which we have read. Indeed, there are the joys of married life, the joys of children. Blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them. But thou dost know also the responsibilities when bringing children into the world. Our Father, we cry to thee for wisdom. Let us know that to deal with sons like Hophni and Phinehas and Absalom and Adonijah requires a wisdom from heaven. And so, our Father, from what we have read this night, at least stir up our minds and let us seek to learn thy mind as to how we should deal with our children. Bless our study tonight together, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I just read you this first kind of expression of love. When we get through, I want to read you another kind of an expression of love. And then, if time allows still, because we'll just be looking at these things briefly, I want to read you yet another kind of love. But first, I wanted to say this. I don't know why Brother Branch let people criticize him for using the word goodly. When he says, there is a goodly number out today. I'm going to teach you something. Most of the time, when you have an ly on a word, it is an adverb. But the word goodly is an adjective. And if you say a goodly number, you are not using an adverb. You are using an adjective correctly. There is the word goodly and goodlier and goodliest. And so it's perfectly in order, Herbert. And from now on, say it is a goodly number. And grammatically, you are speaking correctly, and you have a precedent from the Word of God. It's like young people, and this comes to mind. They had an old father who had not much education, and he sat down at this professor's table with his student that had somehow gotten into college. And the old dad said, pass me some of those victuals. And the daughter said, excuse me, professor, he means victuals. And the professor said, he means victuals because that is what they are. And so be sure you know why you are criticizing a person when you do. And so I'm glad to see this goodly number out tonight. And it says concerning Adonijah that he was a goodly man. And that is an adjective, a goodly man. And Moses was a goodly child. It is simply a word that seems to be an adverb, whereas it is an adjective. But the likeness of Adonijah and Absalom with David, and the likeness of Jacob with his son Joseph, and then his son Benjamin, and then, tragically, Eli with Hophni and Phinehas is this. They manifested a kind of love. But the kind of love is a weak, sickly man kind of love, which destroys the children that God has placed in your care. The Bible says that they love, but I told you that Jacob loved well, but he did not love wisely. Anytime you love your children in such a way that all your other children hate that child that you love, then you have somehow misdirected your love. You have expressed it in a way while loving him is good. If it causes all his brothers and sisters to hate him, then you have expressed it in a way that could be better chosen, and you have to seek wisdom from God. Because what I've done is this. I've searched the scriptures and seen the examples that are given. And if you say, well, give me the solution, I would not presume to do such a thing. But I know this, that the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And I trust as I bring these things to your attention, you must understand that you need a wisdom from heaven, because a man-made wisdom will not do. However, there are many who give practical advice about sons and daughters, and many times it's better than the advice or the practice followed by Eli and by David and by Jacob. Now, here is the thing that is so sad, that this weak, sickly kind of love expresses itself in lavishing rich gifts upon sons, or in never saying no to anything that son wanted to do. Can you imagine this? A son has gone through life, and this is what it says. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? This is the way to destroy your children. Never to question them, never to displease them. Why, that is why children are born, to displease them and to correct them. And I think back now in my youth, and when my parents in wisdom withheld me and restrained me and questioned the things that I did, my only criticism is that they did not do it more often than they did. They did not apprehend me in my cunning as a young boy and say, why are you doing this? Where do you think you are going? Many parents used to do that, but now if they do such a thing, I've heard that modern psychologists say, no, it is self-expression. Well, They let a generation express themselves, and now they are coming upon the scene and consider the environment in which we live. But David was one who loved Absalom in such a way that he was quite prepared to let Absalom rise up and kill all of those over whom he ruled, and let Absalom live and let his own servants die. And his nephew Joab had to shake him to his senses and cause him to go out and repent before the people. It was a weak, sickly kind of love, and it is something that destroys your children. Now, let me tell you this. If it were one example, I might be wrong. But David loved his son Absalom the same way that he loved his son Adonijah. And his son Absalom was killed. And his son Adonijah was killed because the son had never heard his father say no. And he makes this confession. He wanted the kingdom, and he said, when the Lord had determined to give the kingdom to my brother. In his exact words, it says, it has become my brother's kingdom, for it is from the Lord. He knew it was from the Lord. He wasn't to have the kingdom, but his father had never said, why are you doing this? What makes you think I'm going to give you that? His father had never denied him anything he wanted or questioned what he did. And even though he knew it was of the Lord that Solomon was to have the kingdom, his father had never denied him. And so he presumes to rise up and seize the kingdom and make it his. Well, God, in his grace, let him get by with this first uprising. But then the second time, now think of this. I want to show you how this weak, sickly love of David destroyed his son. The second time, he goes to Bathsheba and sends her in to Solomon and says, ask for the wife of my father David, that she may be my wife. Can you imagine such a thing? That a man would suggest an incestuous union with the wife of his father. But his father had never said, why have you done such a thing? And so he knows the kingdom is not his, but David has never denied him anything, and so he says, I'm going to take the kingdom. And God spares him on that. But when he went in and had Bathsheba to beseech Solomon for Abishag, his father's wife, in his old age, Solomon said, he's going to die. And he put him to death. And so do you see what brought this about? His father had never brought him to his senses saying, it is not your position to become king. It is Solomon. You cannot have this prize. This belongs to another. And so this weak, sickly love, rather than draw his son to him, it caused him to despise his father, and it eventually brought ruin upon his own life. It brought his death. Need I tell you about Absalom, that one who was so beautiful? The last we see of him is hanging in that oak by his head, with spears piercing his body. Why? Because he rose up against his father. His father loved Absalom, and there was that weak, sickly expression of love toward him, and so Absalom was quite prepared to kill his father. Think now. Here are fathers that loved well, but not wisely, and see if their children respected them. Do you think that your son would have any respect for you if, after you died, he said, I want to marry you, my father's wife? Does that sound like your son respected you? You say, God forbid. And in like manner, if you are president and your son is quite prepared to remove you from office and take over your position, even if it meant your financial ruin, even if it meant your death, do you think that your love, the kind of love you've shown to your son, you think that it was appreciated and brought respect from Absalom and from Adonijah? You say it did not bring respect. It brought contempt and disdain. Well, remember that. If you are expressing, if any of you are expressing this weak, sickly, human kind of love, I've told you two things that happened. It happened in the case of Adonijah and of Absalom, and it almost happened, except for the grace of God, in the case of Joseph, because they wanted to kill him. But God had things in store for Joseph, and he preserved him and brought him out of that pit, and eventually exalted into the throne, but it could have resulted in his death. And, in like manner, concerning Eli with Hophni and Phinehas, here is something that I cannot explain to you. You would think that when his sons did something wrong, and his father went to them and said, "Sons, I hear what you are doing. This thing that you are doing is wrong. Do you not realize that you're going to bring down the wrath of God upon yourselves? Sons, you should not be doing this." Is that not a good father? You say, well, at least he told them what they were doing wrong. Well, he told them what they were doing wrong, but just before his sons died, when the judgment of God fell upon them, the pronouncement of doom, this is what God sent them a message by little Samuel. He said, "Your sons brought a curse upon themselves, and you restrained them not." Well, here is what I've learned, that speaking to sons is not enough. God uses the word restrain. And so if you say, "Well, I tell my children what is right and wrong," God said, that is not enough. They brought a curse upon themselves, and you did not restrain them. And this is why I would not presume to tell you what to do, how much restraint to put upon your children. But let me ask you, suppose you are thinking, if I put restraint upon them, it will alienate them and they will not love me. Remember Jacob and remember Joseph and remember David. Remember the fathers that reasoned that way and see if their sons love them. In the case of David and of Eli, see if their sons loved them. But in this case, when it did happen, God said they brought a curse upon themselves because you did not restrain them. What does that mean? I do not know. But I'm thinking this, that if I had to err by being more lenient with my children or with restraining my children, I would remember what God said to Eli and say, "I'm putting restraint on you," so that when God speaks to me, he cannot say, "You did not restrain your children." If God said, "You restrained them too much, and they live, thank God." But if I only spoke to them and told them that they were doing wrong and what was right, but never kept them from doing right and wrong, and God said, "You did not restrain them," then I would fear. And so, you parents, think on these things. God says speaking to them is not enough. The word that he uses is restrain, and you ascertain what he means by that word. Because if you do not restrain them, if you do just tell them things and say, "Now, you figure it out for yourself. You have self-determination, my son. This is right and this is wrong." And God decides to take your children out of this world. He's liable to say to you, "They brought a curse upon themselves and you did not restrain them." Notice. They cursed themselves, and you did not restrain them. What a message to receive from God. And the message that came from God turned out to be true. In the case of Hophni and Phinehas, and in the case of Absalom, and in the case of Adonijah. And so do not have an expression of love that is weak and sickly and self-indulgent that lets your children do anything they want to do. But you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as God leads you. And do not be afraid to use the word restraint. And I've read this, and I'm just telling you this because I know nothing about bringing up children, but I have read what God says about it. It says, "Thou shalt beat them with the rod. They shall not die." I've seen children in time past beaten with a switch, and you thought they were going to die, but they didn't die. And some people have laughed about the way that their parents got after them in the past. And I can remember my parents getting after me, and I'm here, I haven't died, and I'm none the worse for it. And so just remember these things. With all the advice you're giving, take to heart what I've told you and what it says in the book of Proverbs, and think this thing through, and do not be a tyrant, but do not be self or over-indulgent with your children, but love your children and allow them to do what God would have you allow them to do. But if they insist on sinning and on evil, you restrain them. Because, let me ask you, did the allowance of the children of Eli and of David cause their children to love them? You see, it caused the death of their children. That's all I want to bring to your mind about them. Remember it, then. This is a weak, sickly, human kind of love. Now, you turn to Proverbs chapter 3. This is the second kind of love I want to bring to your attention. And it's contained in three parts of the Bible. It is said by wisdom, it is said by the Father, and it is said by the Son. And it is quoted in the New Testament from Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his reproof, for whom the Lord loveth, he reproveth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, isn't that strange? I read you of fathers who love their children, but the love that I read you about is not the kind of love that is expressed in Proverbs chapter 3. Listen, the love that God sets before us is, for whom the Lord loveth, he reproveth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighted. Well, now here is David delighting in Absalom and Adonijah, but he did not reprove them. Eli did not restrain them, but it says the love of God is a strong, healthy love that disciplines and restrains from evil. And it says it in Proverbs 3:12, if the Lord loves you, he deals with you in this way. When David and Eli loved their children, they dealt in another way. Now, I wonder which way is correct. I read it here, and if the young people are saying, that's bad enough, he's telling my parents to reprove me. Well, let's turn to Hebrews 12 now. Hebrews 12. And look at verse 4. Hebrews 12:4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which reasoneth with you as with sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art reproved of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he reproveth. You see, I had to read this because it mentions the scourging as well as the chastening. And this is quoting from Proverbs chapter 3. This is an elaboration upon it. And so here it says, he chasteneth and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And it says that if God does not deal with us, his children, in this way, then are we bastards and not sons. And so notice the love of God. Now, turn to Revelation 3, because I want you to see this as well. We have wisdom displaying love in such and such a way, and we have the Father displaying love in such and such a way, and let's see what the Son says in Revelation 3, verse 19. As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, we have the wisdom love, the Father's love, and the Son's love. And is it anything at all like Jacob's love and David's love and Eli's love? You say, nothing at all. Their love was weak and sickly, and God's love and the Son's love is strong and healthy and it controls. Well then, I'm thinking, if your child says, you do not love me, or you would allow, you go to the scripture and understand what love is. The kind of love of which the child would deceive you is a human kind of love. But God says, as many as I love, and then he addresses his love as being like unto a father that delighted in his son. And so if you children had wisdom, you would go to your parents and would say, you are having too much tolerance in my life. You are being too tolerant. You are allowing me a free rein in my life. Why don't you bring more control in my life? They never say that. And also, I found in the book of Lamentations that one man said, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. But he couldn't have said that as a young man. It's a man who was young, he's become old, and he's looking back over it and saying, it's good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. But I'm telling you, God's kind of love, and it's so different from the other examples of love. And so the kind of love that God has is one that chastens and reproves, and not only tells them what's wrong, but it scourges every son that he receives. And so beware if we as Christians are carnal and constantly in sin and nothing is ever done about it. Ask yourself the question, am I a bastard or am I a legitimate child? The Bible tells you what God will do if he loves you. And the Lord Jesus says, repent, be zealous therefore, and repent. And now one other thing. Turn to Genesis 22. I will just mention this to you briefly. In Genesis chapter 22. Because there are those who love well, but not wisely. But I will read you concerning this. In chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did prove Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place which God had told him. I see. And so here is a father who loves a son, an only son, and he loves his son more than David loved Adonijah and Absalom, and more than Eli loved Hophni and Phinehas, and I believe more than Jacob loved Joseph. But he loved his son to this degree, but he loved his God greater than his son. Now I'm wondering who parents could possibly succeed. I know that Jacob could never receive. He would not give back to God what God asked for this reason. I remember when he thought he had lost Joseph and his sons had gone down into Egypt to get grain, they had taken Simeon and bound him and come back home without him. And when they got back home, he said, where is Simeon? He's bound. He's in prison down in Egypt. And he's not going to be freed until we go back and give an explanation to the ruler of Egypt. And so month after month went by, and finally they gave out of grain. And his son said to him, we must take Benjamin down. He said, you're not going to take Benjamin down. So think of this. Here is his poor son Simeon down in Egypt, and he lets him stay there. Because he said, I love Benjamin. I'm not going to give Benjamin that I might recover Simeon. Why, I may lose them both. I'm keeping this son. And because of that, I infer that if God said, take now your son, your only son, because remember, Rachel only had two sons, Joseph, and he thinks Joseph is dead. And now his only son by the wife that he loved, Rachel, is in his possession, and he's not going to send him down to Egypt. I believe that Jacob would have failed the test. But here is a father who is an old man. He does not have other sons to whom he can look. Ishmael has been dismissed. He is not the one that is going to receive the blessing. And now God says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and give him to me for a burnt offering. And he loved God more than he loved his son. Now, I bring that out because God is not going to ask any of you to offer your sons or your daughters in actual physical sacrifice. But he is asking you for your sons and your daughters when he says to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And instead of doing that, you allow them to do what they please. And for the life of me, I cannot understand the way that some Christian parents indulge their children and allow them to do what they want to. Then God says, give me the sanctity of your child. Give me the virginity of your child. Give me the devotion of your child. And you will not give it to God. You are just like a father named Jacob who has Simeon, and you have no intention of letting Benjamin go down for the chance of freeing Simeon. You may lose them both. And so God says, give me your child. and you say, I'm not going to give you my child. But here's what I found. I have found that there are some who will not give God their children, and when they will not give God their children, God takes their children. Here is David. He will not give God Absalom, and so God takes Absalom. And here is David, and he will not give God Adonijah, and so God takes Adonijah. But I was going to read you of this. Here is Hannah, and here is Abraham. And God says, Abraham, give me Isaac, your only son whom you love. And Abraham says, he's yours, Lord. But when Abraham gave God Isaac, his son, God said, I'm giving him back to you. Do you see the difference? And so David withheld, and God took, and Abraham gave, and God gave back again. Will you keep this in mind? And Hannah had prayed to God for children, and God gave her no children. And finally, she made a vow. He said, God, if you will give me a child, a man child, I will give him back to you. And God said, he's yours. And so she took her child and gave him to God. And who was the greatest judge in Israel? You'll say, why, that child that Hannah gave away, why, God gave back with interest. Why, he was a blessing not only to Elkanah and Hannah, but to all the nation of Israel. Why, of course. And so Abraham and Hannah gave God their children, and God gave them back. And David withheld from God his children, and God took them. And now, what are you going to do with your children? You bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You love them as God describes love to us in his word. Let us pray. Our Father, thou dost know our weakness. We would not boast. Thou dost know that we are like Jacob who would withhold Benjamin. But we are thankful that there is a woman that thou canst set before us as an example, Hannah, who gave her son to thee. There was a father named Abraham, and he gave his son to thee. And these sons turned out to be a blessing to the people of God, and their parents enjoyed them all their life long. We thank you for this, our Father. Thou dost know the difficulty of this decision, but help us to search our hearts and see what is love and what is not love, and what man determines should be done, and what God tells us should be done. Give us that wisdom from heaven, and let us give thee our children, Father, and then in grace, thou God of Abraham and of Hannah, give us our children back. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.